Good morning. I'm sorry again about last week. I wasn't able to make it. Thank you for being accommodating and coming back this week. As mentioned a couple weeks ago, we're going to be starting the halachos of Muksa today. We've been doing Lamatas Malachos until now, just a little bit of a change of format just to do the halachos of Muksa. Anyone who's been around me the past couple weeks, like my wife and my friends in yeshiva, know that I've been consumed by Muksa the past 2 weeks. I even went so far as asking Rabbi Sachs this morning for a bracha. I didn't have any specific questions for him, but I went over to him after davening, just a bracha, should I have siyata d'shmaya for the halachos of Muksa. Muksa is a huge topic. We're not going to be able to cover it all in one day. It wasn't meant to be covered all in 1 45-minute shiur, but there's a lot of halachos and there's a lot of machlokas. There's a lot of things that are not clear amongst the paiskim themselves, and we're going to go through them. My job, of course, is to filter out what's an important chumrah to keep, what's not such an important chumrah, that we have what to rely on. You'll be surprised by a lot of stringencies, but you'll be surprised by a lot of leniencies as well. So let's begin. First of all, when we have the Isser of Muksa, the Avera of Muksa on Shabbos, that of course is it's an Avera only midrabbanan. It's not one of the Lamatas Malachos. It's not a Deiraisa. It's not forbidden according to Torah law. It's something that the Rabbanan enacted, something that the Rabbanan made up at a later time. What was the reason for the enactment of Muksa? Why did they make this prohibition of Muksa? So there's a number of reasons given in the Rishayim. Just to mention a few of them, one reason is given is that it's to guard us from violating one of the Lamatas Malachos. Meaning we have the Lamatas Malachos which are forbidden mid-Iraisa, but the Rabbanon came up and they said that we're not allowed to touch certain articles, certain items, because if you take it, then you may come to do a Malacha. If I'm allowed to pick up a pen on Shabbos, I may come to write. So therefore we made a pen Muksa. If I touch a match, then if I pick up a match, I may come to light a fire. If I pick up a scissors, I may come to cut something. So that's reason number one given in the Rishayim, why we have this Isser of Muksa. Reason number two that's given, besides the fact that we may come to do a Malacha, but even if we're not going to do a Malacha, but just Shabbos has to be a different day than the rest of the week. If it will be permitted when we're home on Shabbos to touch any article, then what are we going to do? I have a great day. I have a great opportunity to clean out my garage. And of course, in my garage, there are many items that we know we consider muksa. There's tools and all different things. And there's rocks and there's leaves. And there's many things that are muksa throughout the house. If we'd be allowed to just touch anything, then we're going to busy ourselves with taking care of different chores that we're not able to do during the week. And that's not what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is supposed to be a day that we're not supposed to be spending doing weekday types of activities, schlepping things and all different types of things like that. So we have to say that certain things are muksa, that you're not able to touch them, even if you're not going to come to do a malacha. A third reason given is that something to prevent us from carrying, right? The halacha is that you're not allowed to carry outside on Shabbos. And besides not being allowed to carry outside on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take something from inside a house and carry it to outside the house. That is forbidden. So if we'd be allowed to just carry anything, and we'd be holding things on our hands, and we'll be having things in bags and in our pockets, then when we go outside from our private domain, from our Rishus Yochid to Rishus Arabim, so then that is an Isser Mid-Iraisa, and we don't want you to carry, so therefore we say you're not allowed to carry many things. The basic necessities we're going to have to let you carry, because that will be impossible if we can't use the basic necessities, so therefore we're not allowed to touch many things because you may come to carry. Now, you may be surprised, why can't you carry on Shabbos? But obviously the reason is, fortunately, here in Passaic Clifton, we have an Erev. So this halacha is almost forgotten, that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to take things from inside the house to outside the house. Last year I was teaching in the Beis Yaakov, and I mentioned something, I was teaching the halachas of Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't say Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, you wait till the weekday. So one girl raised her hands, she said, like, why can't you carry on Shabbos? So I said, you know, that's what we have an Erev for. And like, she didn't, she was only 16 years old. She didn't realize that there's an Avera to carry on Shabbos. Fortunately, we live with an Erev that many people rely on, of course, and it's a kosher Erev. So then, you know, that's why we're allowed to carry. But the reason for, one of the reasons given for the reason for Muksa is because if we touch all different types of objects and we carry all different types of objects, then we're going to come to carry outside. Contrary to popular belief, the Isser of Muksa is only moving Muksa. To touch Muksa is permitted. You're allowed to touch Muksa. A lot of people don't realize this. I didn't realize it myself till I learned the halachas. You're allowed to touch Muksa. You're allowed to go over to a tree or a car or a rock and just touch it. You're allowed to touch it. That's not a problem. A tree trunk or something like that, you're allowed to touch it. The only thing you would be not allowed to touch is something that if you touch it is going to move, let's say a hanging branch from a tree or a chandelier hanging from the ceiling, or you know, if you, let's say you have a dollar bill on the table, if you touch it, chances are it's going to move. If something will move when you touch it, then you're not allowed to touch it either, because we say it's going to come to move. But something that's not going to move when you touch it, that you are permitted to touch. Now, Rav Nissim Karelitz even says that even if something that maybe will move, you're not sure if it's going to move or not. So Rav Nissim Karelitz says you're allowed to touch it, because since it's not for sure going to move, he says it's permitted to touch. I can't tell you exactly, let's say it's a 75% chance it's going to move or a 50% chance it's going to move, how exactly, you know, what the percentages are when you're allowed to touch it or not. But that is the halacha, that if it's for sure not going to move, you're allowed to touch it. If it's for sure going to move, then you're not allowed to touch it. Just keep in mind, when we talk about a tree, they we say you're allowed to touch a tree on Shabbos, there's a separate isser of using a tree. You're not allowed to use a tree. You're not allowed to lean on a tree, and you're not allowed to, let's say you're running and you want to use a tree to stop your run. So maybe for adults, you know, it's not so common. But the kids, you know, play the game Tap Tap Trio, and they use the tree as the base. So they're really using the tree. So now, it depends how old they are. They don't necessarily, if they've reached chinuch as far as that iser, you know, if they could have a different base, you know, that probably will be better. But to use a tree is a different iser, even if you're not going to move it. But to use a tree, to have a swinging from a tree is a certain issues. Climbing a tree, of course, even if, let's say, you know, it's a very strong tree and you're not going to move it, there's a separate iser of using the tree, which perhaps we'll discuss, you know, more at length at a different time, as far as, you know, the machos of kotzer and things like that. But that's as far as using a tree. But technically, touching a tree is not a problem. What about sitting on a car? According to the letter of the law, if the car is not going to move, you're allowed to sit on a car. You're allowed to lean against the car. Now, if the car is going to move, so then we have a machlokas. Some say that that's not permitted because the car is moving. And like we said, you're moving the car and that'd be not allowed. Some say that's still permitted because you're not moving it in the regular manner. You're not moving it with your hands. You're just leaning against it or sitting on the back, on the bumper, and then, you know, moves up and down like that. Some say that's permitted. Some say that's not permitted because that's the normal way of moving it when you sit down. Anyways, the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa says you shouldn't be sitting on a car, even though according to the letter of the law, quite possible it's permitted, but it just doesn't look right. You know, people look at a car like, you know, it's muksa, how could you sit on a car? But according to the letter of the law, like we're saying, you're allowed to touch a muksa object even if it's not going to move. But to use a muksa object is allowed, except for a tree. But you're not allowed to use a muksa object. Just this past Shabbos, it happened to come out. I was somewhere and I took off my hat, and the only place to put my hat was on the person's washing machine or on the dryer. And that is permitted. You're allowed to place something on a washing machine dryer, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, because even though you're using the muksa, but it's not moving. Of course, if I just place my hat or a coat on a washing machine or a dryer, it's not going to move. So that is permitted.
I'm sorry, I think I've offended you. So you can use muksa.
You're allowed to, except for a tree. There's a separate iser of using a tree because you may come to break a branch, because you may come to break off a branch. That's a separate iser. But using muksa, the Paiskim say, is also permitted. Besides just touching it is permitted, but even using a muksa object is permitted. If you have a tree stump, which is no longer a tree, or a rock, and you're going for a walk in the park, and there's a big rock, and you want to sit down on the rock, you're allowed to sit down on the rock. People think it's weird. A car, the place can tell us, you know, you shouldn't do. But to sit on a rock and to sit on a log that's no longer a tree, that is permitted because it's not moving and you're allowed to use a muksa object.
What about a log that might, if you see, you know, a log, not a stump, but a log.
So a log that may move, so a log that might roll. So then, you know, so that, you know, would be a good idea to prevent, you know, to not do it. But again, like we said before, Nissim Karelitz said, if it may move, you're allowed to do it. And if it ends up moving, you know, it was something done by accident. It was a davar shein mischav and you didn't have in mind to do it. It's okay. But something like a rolling log that, you know, it's very, very, very possible it's going to move, you know, that should be avoided. So that's as far as muksa, and that's the reasons for muksa, and we had the isser of muksa is specifically moving a muksa and not touching it. What I want to do next, I worked a very long time as far as just the order of how to say everything. There are going to be a lot of questions that I'm not going to be able to answer yet, because we're still going to get to it, meaning I will be able to answer it, I could answer it at 10 o'clock, but I wouldn't be able to answer in the middle of this year because there's things we're going to get to. But just to start off, just with some of the ways that it's permitted to move muksa. Now we're going to overlap to other halachas we're going to get to a little bit later, but just a few of the permitted ways how it is permitted to move muksa. So to go ahead with your hands and to move the muksa, so that we said is not allowed. But there's something that's called, there's two ways that it will be permitted to move muksa, and we need to discuss when are those opportunities that we're able to move muksa. The first way is called tiltul min hatzad. Tiltul means to move. Tes lamed, tes vav lamed. Tiltul means to move. Min hatzad, so literally that means from the side. Well, let's discuss, what does that mean, tiltul min hatzad, and when is that permitted? What exactly is it, and when is that permitted? So, tiltul min hatzad means the following. You're moving something through your hands, but you're not touching the muksa object. Like this, meaning, here's my MP3 player. MP3 player is muksa on Shabbos. We'll discuss why at a later time. But I'm putting it on my notebook. Let's assume for a second a notebook is not muksa. We have to discuss paper and these type of things. But now, you see, I'm not touching the muksa object. But I'm moving it with my hands. I'm moving it like this. It's on this notebook, and I'm moving the muksa object through my hands, but I'm not actually touching the muksa object. Another simple example that will be tiltul min hatzad is I take a broom and I sweep a muksa object. So I'm not touching the muksa object directly with my hands, but I'm holding something else with my hands, and I'm moving the muksa object like that. That's another example of tiltul min hatzad. Another example of tiltul min hatzad is, let's say, according to the Mishnah Berurah, I take a knife and I sweep the shells and the peels off of the dining room table. Because, let's say, I want to move it, we have to discuss those halachas. So I'm moving it, I'm holding a non-muksa item in my hand, a broom, a knife, a notebook, and I'm moving a muksa item like that. That is another example of tiltul min hatzad. Just a fourth example of tiltul min hatzad is, let's say, I have a platter, and a platter of, let's say, cookies, and a coin falls in, a quarter, let's say, falls into the platter of the cookies. So now the dish is not muksa, and the cookies, of course, are not muksa, but the coin inside of it is muksa. So that is called tiltul min hatzad. If I would pick up this dish and move the dish along with the cookies, but along with the coin, along with the muksa object, that would be another example of tiltul min hatzad. I'm moving it with my hands, but not directly with my hands, but through a non-muksa item. So when are we allowed to do, hold on one second, when are we allowed to do tiltul min hatzad on Shabbos? So the halacha is the following. Tiltul min hatzad is only permitted if it is for a Shabbos use. If it's for the purpose of Shabbos, it's a Shabbos need, or for the honor of Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to move it for such a purpose. For example, let's say the example we said before, a coin, I have a platter of cookies that's in the kitchen, and I want to serve it to the table. Just then, my kids are throwing muksa items all over the kitchen, and one of the muksa items lands in the dish. So there, since I want to serve the platter of cookies, the platter of cake, the platter of whatever it is, I want to serve it to the table, why would I be picking up this dish together along with the muksa item? Not for the purpose of the muksa item, I want it for the non-muksa food on the dish. That would be permitted to move that to the table, even though the coin is moving. Of course, I can't pick up the coin and take it out of the dish, because then I'm moving it directly with my hands. But I'm allowed to move the plate and the dish that has the muksa item in it, because that is tiltul min hatzad for the purpose of Shabbos and for the purpose of a Shabbos need. An important halacha. The only time it is permitted to do tiltul min hatzad, besides if it's for a Shabbos need, is if shaking it off is not possible. Okay? Meaning, so when you have, let's keep to this example of the plate with cookies. If it's possible for me to shake, to tilt over, it's called near, to shake off and to tilt off. If I could shake off the coin, if I could tilt the dish and the coin would fall off to the floor, and then now I'd be left with just the cookies and the cake or the food, then I have to do that first. Because since I'm able to, instead of carrying it directly, not directly the coin, but directly the dish, it's better to shake it off if I am able to. Sometimes I'm not able to. If I can't, let's say It's a mushy cake with frosting on top. And I can't shake it off. The cake is going to fall off to the floor. And I can't put my hands on top of it because I'm going to smush the cake. And I can't serve the cake like that. So then I can't shake it off. So then it's permitted to pick up the dish and just carry it to the table. But if niur is possible, if shaking it off is possible, then it is preferable to do the niur, because that is much less of a direct movement. So it's better to do it like that. Another example. Let's say you come to the table and there's a camera on the table. You come to the suda Friday night and you realize, oh, the kids were looking at the pictures on the camera right before Shabbos, and one of my kids, they left the camera on the dining room table on Shabbos. So now I want to get rid of it. So if I would pick up the tablecloth and shake off the camera, it's going to fall off to the floor. It's going to break. I'm not obligated to do that. So what I would be allowed to do, okay, maybe a table is not a good example because it can't really carry the table. Let's say it's on a chair. So if I would tilt it off the chair, so then the camera would fall to the floor, and that's not considered a viable option because the camera is going to break. So then I'd be allowed to move the chair off to another room. Let's say I don't need the chair. And I'll be allowed to move it away to the side because that's considered total min atzad.
What if it was on the table?
So if it was on the table, so we have to discuss the halachas of tilta begufa, which we need to discuss. But if it's on the table, a camera is a hard example because a camera happens to be, it's a kli. It's a kli shemalach tal isa, which is mutal l'tzarech gufa, l'tzarech mekayme, which we need to discuss. Let's say it's a rock. A rock that is muksa begufa, which again we need to discuss these halachos. Then a rock would not be allowed. Something like that. That's that if you can't do a tilta min atzad, let's say it's on the table, so you can't move the table away. Then it would you wouldn't be allowed. You would not be allowed to move it. The way Moshe Feinstein says it is that the rock or the pen, as he's talking about, on the table is the kavod Shabbos is to leave it on the table. That's kavod Shabbos because everybody sees that you can't move it, and yeah, everyone understands it was there by mistake, and that's it. You're careful not to move it on Shabbos, and you know that's where Moshe Feinstein says to do it. A pen we have to discuss because that's also klishe melach talis, or why is that different? We have to get to that, but if you have, let's say, a rock or something, a stick on the table, so then Moshe Feinstein says you shouldn't move it. It's something that you can't accomplish tilta min atzad. Maybe a stick you could do the tablecloth and it'll fall off to the floor, and then that you wouldn't care. But it's something that you can't shake off. And something that you can't lift away, so then you know there wouldn't be an option of using it, of moving it, unless it's a kli. Unless it's a kli.
Well, why could you move the camera with the chair? Because then you won't be using the chair, and then it's for the sake of the camera.
So if it's a case where it's for the purpose of the non-muksa object. So the example, let's say if it's a case where you don't need the chair, you're right. As I was saying, I was realizing that maybe that example is not the best example. If it's something, let's say, that you need the chair. Let's say you have a certain amount of chairs in the room and you need that specific chair. So forget the camera because the camera's a kli. Let's say a rock. A rock is on the chair. So if you have the rock on the chair and it's something that a special rock that you can't, you won't be able to do near, and you're not gonna, and it's gonna break, or you need the place where it's going to fall. So then you'd be allowed. Then if you need the chair, also tiltum and atzad is allowed if it's for the purpose of the non-muksa object. Meaning again, so I've said a few different things. The only time tiltum and atzad would be permitted is if it's for the if it's for a Shabbos need. And if it's for the purpose of the non-muksa object, like you had just mentioned, if it's for the purpose of the non-muksa object, so if you need the chair, you need to use the chair, or, and that's considered both right there, that's considered a Shabbos need, and that's considered for the purpose of the non-muksa object, then it will be allowed to move. Meaning, a camera may anyways not be a problem because it's a kli, but again, we have to get to those halachas. But if it's something that you would not have the regular kli, or it's a rock, or something like that, then it would, for the purpose of the rock, then that would not be permitted. So again, the only time tiltum and atzad is mutter is if it's for a Shabbos need, and it's for the purpose of the non-muksa item. Meaning, let's say it's a wallet. A wallet's on the chair. So I don't want the kids to start touching my wallet and to go through the things in the wallet. So for there, if I just don't want someone to touch it, that's for the purpose of the wallet. Thou will not be allowed to move it tiltum and atzad because that's not for the purpose of a Shabbos need. That's not for the purpose of the non-muksa object if it's on something else. That's for the purpose of the wallet or for the purpose of, let's say, the camera. That would not be allowed to move it for the purpose of the muksa object. Okay, so we need those two categories. We need those two conditions. We need it for a Shabbos need.
What's a Shabbos need?
something serving food for Shabbos, or something that you need to do for Shabbos. It doesn't have to be specifically for Shabbos. It could be something that I need today, that I personally need today, and today is Shabbos. So something that I need to do now, something that I need to know.
You have to add 2 coins in your coat, and you need to wear that coat today.
Okay, so we have to discuss the halachos of basis and leaving things in pockets and leaving things in drawers and wallets in drawers.
That's the same example as like the cookies and a
yeah, that would be a similar example. If you forgot coins in your coat and you forgot it there, that's why it's not a busis, we'll get to those halachas, then if you could do nir, and if it's possible to shake out those coins, like we said, nir is the first option. If you could shake it out, then you should get it out. But if somehow you can't shake it out of the coat and you need to use the coat, you're allowed to wear the coat on Shabbos. People will be surprised at that. I'm walking around with coins in my pocket. But if nir is not possible, you're allowed to wear the coat because you're not moving around the coins in my pocket for the purpose of the coins. I'm moving it for the purpose of the non-muksa item, of the non-muksa object. I'm using it for the purpose of the coat. Then that will be totum and atzad. That's permitted. Okay? If it's not a busis. If it gets not a busis.
So you wear the coat with the coin in it.
You could wear the coat with the coin in it, but I would think most of the time you'd be able to shake it out to put the pocket inside out. It'll fall to the floor. How much coins already are in there? You know, it's not such a big deal. You know, once it's on the floor, we'll discuss in a moment what you could do with it once it's on the floor. But you should be able to do near one with the coin in the pocket, even if the pocket has a zipper or a button. You open up the zipper, you open up the button, then you should be able to do near. But if you could get a situation where we have coins in the coat where it's not a busis, which we have to discuss the lachos of busis, if somehow it's not a busis, you forgot it there, so then technically that would be also totum and atzad. That's permitted because you need it for Shabbos and it's for the purpose of the non-muksa item. Okay, another example. You had a question? Yeah.
Yeah. The situation of a rock. Let's say the rock's at the table you're having at like a prime location and you're having a ton of company.
And you need that space. You need that space. So a rock is what we call muksa machmas gufa, which we need to discuss, and that's much more stringent than something that's a kli. So you cannot just pick it up and move it away. So you would have to try and do nir, if it's possible. If all the dishes are on the table already, it'd be hard to do nir. But if you could do totem and atzad, if it's on the table, it's very hard. It's table.
You take the tablecloth off? Let's say like...
Yeah, taking the tablecloth off would be exact. Right, let's say the dishes are not there. You could take the tablecloth off with the rock. That's considered totem and atzad. And that's not for the purpose of the muksa item. You're not doing it for the purpose of the rock. You're doing it for the purpose of the table, which is the non-muksa item. So that would be permitted.
Aside from a rock, what would be an item that you would be allowed to... Like a rock, you're saying you shouldn't do it. Like,
no, a rock...
You could?
Yeah, a rock you could do with the tablecloth. That is totem and atzad. That's permitted for the purpose... It's a Shabbos need, and it's for the purpose of the non-muksa item. A camera could be even more lenient. That's what I'm saying. A camera could be even more lenient because it's a kli. Because it's a kli. We have to discuss which type of klis you're allowed to move. But a rock is not a kli. It's not a utensil. So that will be more strict. But you have the totem and atzad that will be permitted. I want to say a few more examples.
Book and push the rock off.
Okay, that's another example. A book, that's the same way. You're doing it with your hands, but it's not directly. That's also considered totem and atzad. Yeah. So we have to discuss papers. Are papers muksa or not? I want to get to that. We're going to get to that. Okay? Where could you put them? Okay, once you're holding it, how long, how much longer you're allowed to hold it? So all good questions, we're going to get. But okay, well, if it's a bill, okay. Another example. Let's discuss that when we get to Tilta Bagufa. Okay? We can push it from something else. Yeah, you can push it onto somewhere else, and then you move that something else. Yeah. Okay.
That's not trying to get
a credit card is mux mach suchsar and kiss. We have to get to that.
Okay. So if you have, let's say, a credit card that got left on the table or shop.
Right.
Okay. So
you could do totem and atzad for that.
Right, but if you don't want it like lying in the middle of your dining room floor all Shabbos.
No, so if you could do nir, right, so if you don't want to do nir, you don't want to shake it off onto the floor, so you could do totem and atzad.
You
could do
can you just like walk the tablecloth to anywhere? Like,
yeah, once you're holding it, you can move it away to somewhere else. Another example. We have to move on. No, I'm going to... Sorry?
Bugs.
We have to talk about bugs.
Can you walk it, like, let's say it's on something, so can you walk
That's a, another perfect example. I have that written down, another example. This past Friday night, I was sitting at my table, and my daughter was sitting to my right, and on the left is a big mirror, and my daughter looked in the mirror, and she freaked out. She said, what's on your hat? And she came around to my left, and she saw there was a big moth on my hat. So she ran away. But so I took off my hat, and saw there was a moth on my hat. Now a moth is muksa. We're going to discuss bugs and pets and all these things. We have to discuss that. Fish tanks. So a moth is muksa. So I But I picked up my hat. I didn't touch the moth. Picked up my hat, and it's Tiltel Min Hatzad. It was not for the purpose of the moth. I had no interest in the moth. I had interest in wearing my hat on the rest of Shabbos. So I picked up my hat. I mean, I took the hat in my hand. It was Tiltel Min Hatzad. I walked outside the house, and I smacked onto the hat, and the moth flew away. That is another perfect example of Tiltel Min Hatzad. I tried to do near, but I didn't want to do near because I didn't want the moth flying around my dining room. I wanted it outside the house, and I was in my dining room. So I walked from my dining room to outside my house very carefully, and I pushed it off, even though the moth is muksa, but that was Tiltel Min Hatzad for the purpose of the non-muksa item. Another example, you have open up the freezer, you want to get something from the freezer, let's say the ice cream or something you want to serve on Shabbos, and there is something muksa, let's say frozen meat. Let's assume for a second frozen meat is muksa on Shabbos, and it's blocking the ice cream. So what do? So I want to get to the muksa item in my freezer behind it. So the halacha is you're allowed to reach the ice cream and pull it out of the freezer, even though the muksa item, even though the frozen meat, is going to move, because I'm moving it with the ice cream jar. The ice cream jar is not muksa, because that I could eat right now. The frozen meat, let's assume, is muksa, but I'm moving it through something else that is also permitted on Shabbos. If you're not touching the frozen meat with your hands, that's Tiltel Min Hatzad.
So then why do we not put muksa things on the door of the freezer?
Why? Right, so preferably the place can say there should be no muksa items on the door of the freezer.
Even if it's Tiltel Min Hatzad.
Because that's Tiltel Min Hatzad, but preferably you should be avoided beforehand. It's machlokes if it should be preferably avoided or not. Some place can say, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says preferably you should avoid it. Sorry, Rabbi Yashiv is the one that says that preferably you should avoid it. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says you don't have to. So preferably you shouldn't have any muksa items, frozen muksa items, on the door of the freezer, because then every time you open it, you're doing Tiltel Min Hatzad. If it could be avoided, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says you don't have to avoid it. It's Tiltel Min Hatzad, and you need to open the freezer. It's allowed. But Rabbi Yashiv says preferably it should be avoided. Let's move on. I really apologize, and I took a lot of questions. We have to move on, and I'm Blina that will take your question at 10 o'clock. Definitely. That's all Tiltel Min Hatzad. Let's discuss now the halachas of Tiltel Begufo. Okay? Tiltel Begufo is different than Tiltel Min Hatzad. Tiltel Begufo means that I'm moving it with my guf, with my body. Now, what does that mean, Tiltel Begufo, with my body? That means that anything that's not my hands. If I move something with my foot, my knee, my teeth, my elbow, even my breath, I'm allowed to blow on something on Shabbos. So that's considered not the normal way of moving it, because I'm not moving it with my hands. And therefore, that is also permitted on Shabbos. That, in a way, it's more lenient, and in a way, it's more strict than Tiltel Min Hatzad. It's more lenient in the following way, that you're allowed to do Tiltel Begufo, to kick something with your foot, or to move something with your elbow. Let's say you have a silver foil, a roll of silver foil on the counter, and you need the space. So you're allowed to move it with your elbow. I'm not moving it with my hands. So in a way, it's more lenient, because you're allowed to do that even for the purpose of the muksa item. Meaning, let's say the camera is on the counter, and I know if the camera's on the counter, my kids are going to touch it. My pocketbook, my purse, my wallet, something's on the counter, and I don't need the space, but I just don't want my kids to touch it. I don't want it to get ruined. So that I'm allowed to move with my elbow, with my foot. If there's a dollar on the floor and I'm afraid the kids are going to touch it and maybe rip it, so I'm allowed to kick it just for the purpose of the muksa item. That is permitted for Tiltel Begufo, because that's not, in that way, it's considered more lenient. A broom? No, a broom. I'm holding the broom with my hands. Since I'm holding the broom with my hands, so in a way that's more strict, because it's more direct. I'm holding the broom in my hands, and therefore it's considered more strict, because I'm holding directly in my hands.
That has to be with something other than your hand.
Exactly. Something other with your hands. Right. Now, the back of the hand. What about the back of the hand? Now, another name for Tiltel Begufo is called Tiltel Kalachar Yad. Kalachar Yad means not the normal way of doing it, but literally, Kalachar Yad means the back of the hand. And believe it or not, Kalachar Yad may not be allowed with the back of your hand. Ramesha says he's not so sure if that's permitted. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say it is permitted. If you have a choice of moving something with your elbow or with the back of your hand, it's preferable to do it with your elbow. There are many paiskim that say you are allowed to do it with the back of your hand.
This is for all kinds of muksa?
All kinds of muksa. Even muksa machmas gufo, even bugs, anything. Not just the kli. All types of muksa, even if it's for the purpose of the muksa object, You're allowed to move it tilto begufo.
So that rock, you could just...
So that rock, right, if the rock is on the table, you could either pick up the tablecloth, or you could, you can't kick it off if it's on the table, but if, you know, maybe one of your kids could, they'll be happy to stand on the table. So, or if you could do it with your elbow, so then that would be permitted. However, in one way, tilto begufo is more strict than tilto min hatzad, what comes out, and in that way, the reason, the way that it is more strict is that the only way you're allowed to do tilto begufo, the only reason, only case you're allowed to do tilto begufo is if you really need to. Okay, if you really need to. It's based on a combination of certain halachos. The Chazon Ish says tilto begufo is not allowed at all, so we don't just simply go ahead. Even the Mishnah Brura and Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yashiv, they all imply that it's only if you're going to lose out something. Let's say the examples we said before, you're really afraid that the kids are going to ruin the camera, they're going to touch your purse, they're going to touch your wallet, there's a dollar bill on the floor, you don't want it to be ruined. So if you really need to, there's a heft, there's going to be a loss, or for a specific reason you really need to use it, to need to do tilto begufo, then you're allowed to do it. But once you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to do it even for the purpose of the muksa item. So there's a little bit of a difference between tilto min hatzad and tilto begufo. Here we have when they are permitted and when they are not allowed. I wanted to start with this because I wanted to come with some leniencies just to start off, but these are halachas a lot of people don't realize. I mean, an example, like we said, you can only do tilto begufo if there's a real purpose. Let's say you're schmoozing with somebody outside and there's a rock on the floor. So, you know, a lot of people, they like to, you know, kick around the rock, they kick the pebble, you know, while they're schmoozing with somebody. It's a normal thing to do, but that's not considered a Shabbos need. Preferably you should not. When you're outside schmoozing with somebody, you shouldn't be, you know, kicking around the rocks, kicking around the stick, a leaf or something like that. That's something that's muksa. And you're kicking it around. Oh, it's only tilto begufo. I'm kicking it with my foot. But like we said, it should only be done if you need to do that on Shabbos. Kicking a rock while you're talking to somebody is not considered a substantial Shabbos need. Another important halacha when it comes to tilto begufo is that it's only permitted if that's not the normal way to move it. Only if that's not the normal way to move it. So if you have a rock, the normal way to move a rock is to pick it up. You hold it with your hands. It's an object you use with your hands. So that would be allowed with your elbow or with your foot. But something that's normal to move like that, then that's not allowed. The example that the Shulchan Aruch gives is, let's say you have a shoe that is muksa. A shoe that the strap is totally broken. So that's muksa. Could be some of you have shoes like that, that the strap is broken, and therefore the shoe is not wearable on Shabbos. But let's say you want to move it, so it's in the way. So if you put it on your foot, that a normal way of moving a shoe is if it's on your foot. That's normal. So therefore you can't move, you can't say, oh, I'm moving it with my foot. That's tilto begufo, that's permitted. Since that's the normal way to move it, then we can't say that's kalar chaya, that's the not normal way. For the shoe, that's considered the normal way. Another example the place can give is a gun in a holster. Those of you who have guns with holsters, so you should, that's, since that, even though I'm not carrying it with my hands, but that's the normal way to move it, so that would also not be permitted. Another case which I saw brought down, another example of this, I was discussing this with other, with some Tamita Chachamim, and we're going back and forth. Let's say you have a scale in the bathroom, right? I'm sure it could be some of you have a scale in the bathroom, and the way I saw it brought is that, you know, when you want to move the scale, we want to weigh ourselves, so it's in the corner, so you don't necessarily bend down to move the scale. You just kick it with your foot, and you put it in a place where you're able to stand up, and you know, you close your eyes, and you hope for the best. So is a scale, a floor scale, moving that with your foot, is that considered a normal way of moving it or not? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I saw in one sefer that that's considered a normal way of moving it, because, you know, we always kick it around the bathroom until we get it in a good spot that you could stand up on it. Perhaps, not that we would weigh ourselves on Shabbos. We said already, Medida, weighing yourself is not allowed on Shabbos, especially if it's electrical. And anyways, it could be it's a problem. But is it muksa? It's definitely muksa, but are you allowed to move it with your foot? I would avoid doing it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says perhaps it is mutter, because we said one of the reasons for muksa is because you may come to carry it outside. You can't carry a scale outside with your foot, so therefore perhaps it is permitted like that. But I would say it's best to avoid it and not kick around the floor scale, because perhaps maybe that's considered the normal way of moving it, so that should be avoided. Another important halacha, which really gets more into tilto min hatzad. Let's say a child is holding a muksa object. Am I allowed to carry the child who is holding the muksa object? Am I allowed to hold his hand? Let's say he's holding a muksa object that I really need, and I want to shake his hand. So is that permitted or not? I'm talking about a child that's not chinuch, and he's below the age of chinuch. He's, let's say, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, and he's holding a muksa object. Are you allowed to move the child or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says that really you are not allowed to hold, to pick up a child that is holding a muksa object. Let's say you're outside, and let's say there's an Erev, so picking up the child is not a problem as far as that. You're outside, you're walking home from shul with your child, you're walking home from a kiddush, and of course they pick up a stick, and they pick up a rock. And you want to know, can I pick them up? I mean, it's time, they're wasting time, you want to get home already? So you want to carry them, but they're holding a rock. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to pick them up. Now, even though we said before, Tultum and Atzad is permitted, right? We said, I'm doing this not for the purpose of the rock, I'm doing this for the purpose of my child. But this is more stringent than Tultum and Atzad, than your standard Tultum and Atzad, even though it fits into the rules of Tultum and Atzad we said before, that I'm picking something up with my hands, that the muksa object is on that object. So my child is holding the muksa object, and I'm holding my child. But the way Abshlomo Zalman Orbach explains is because this is much worse, because this is considered more direct. Meaning the child, it's not just simply that this is on something else, it's a coin on something, but my child is holding the muksa object, any child, doesn't have to be my child, but the child is holding the muksa object, and I'm holding the child, so that's considered more direct, and therefore that is not allowed. The only time that will be allowed is if the child will get very upset if you don't pick them up. If their father or mother doesn't pick them up, they're crying and they want to, and you're like, you want to pick them up, but just put down the rock already so I can pick you up. If they're going to be very upset that their father or mother is not picking them up, then that is allowed. For a child, we're much more lenient. It's considered as if they're going to become a chola, they're going to become sick, which we've never discussed halachos of refuah on Shabbos, but for children with refuah, we're much more lenient. And we say that's considered as if they could become a chola, they could become sick. And if a child will be very upset and they're crying, if their parents doesn't pick them up, and if you tell them, and if they put down the muksa object, they're also going to be very, very upset. If they put down the muksa object, if you force them to put it down, then you'd be allowed to pick them up. That's as far as holding a child. Can you walk with a child, holding a child's hand while they walk, while they're holding a muksa object?
You can't shake it out of their hand.
So Rabbi Yashiv says that also you shouldn't shake it out of their hand. Rabbi Yashiv says even though you're not picking them up, but to shake it out of their hand, also Rabbi Yashiv says that's not allowed. That will be the same halacha as carrying them, which we said, if they're going to cry or something like that, then it would be permitted. But standard, the Shulchan Aruch says that that's not allowed, and Rabbi Yashiv says so too, by not just picking them up, but exactly like you said, shaking their hand directly, going over to their hand, even though you're not touching the muksa object, shaking their hand would be the same thing. Let's say you're just holding their other hand, let's say, while you're walking in the street. Is that allowed? So that's a big machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah says, brings two opinions about it. Well, basically what the place can come out is that if you really need to for that, if you really need to, then it is permitted, but preferably you shouldn't. Now, I say really need to, I mean not just for the child. We said already, if the child's going to go crazy and the child's going to cry and be very, very upset, then anyways, it's permitted. But as far as yourself, you really, really need to. You're in a tremendous rush. You really, really need to get somewhere. And you could only go if the child, if you hold the child's hand, or let's say you're crossing the street. And that's a pressing need that you need to carry the child. You need to hold the child's hand. So you don't want to pick them up because they're holding the muksa object. But you need to hold their hand. That is definitely considered a pressing need. A 2 or 3 year old crossing the street, even if there's no cars coming, I would be confident to say that that's considered a pressing need to hold the child's hand when you're walking the street. Then when you're crossing the street, that would be allowed.
And if they put the muksa in their pocket, would that be more lenient because they're not holding it?
Good question. Probably. That's a good point. Probably. The same way as we discussed before, as something's in my pants pocket or my coat pocket, then that would be your standard tiltum and atzad. So then that's probably true. That if it's in the child's pocket, then yeah. Now if it's in the child's pocket, you know, you could do near, but again, the same idea. If the child's going to go crazy, that it's now no longer in his pants pocket and he wants to have it, so then I would imagine that would also be the same halacha. But that's true. It would be more lenient if it's not in the child's hand directly, but it's in the child's pocket.
Let's say they're wearing it. Like they put it around their neck, or same thing, if they're not holding it in their hand.
I would imagine that would be the same as in their pocket, because they're not actually holding it in their hand. But we don't have that logic, that svara, that it's more stringent. I would imagine that would be the same type of halacha.
Let's say they need to wear something muksa. Like let's say you have a child who wears hearing aids or some other medical device.
Okay, hearing aids is a different discussion. We have to discuss hearing aids. Hearing aids are a kli, and it could be that it's perhaps permitted. Could be there's electronic things. Hearing aids are separate discussions. Big discussion if hearing aids are muksa or not. But if the child needs to wear it, you know, you'd be allowed.
Or some other medical thing, like they need.
So for medical issues, again, they're saying if the child's going to cry, we say that that's considered the child's going to become a chola and now be permitted. Then over here also, if you would have to pick him up only if you take off the hearing aid, then you know, that then that will be permitted to pick him up even with the hearing aid. Let me end off with one more halacha, which is the biggest chumrah, the biggest stringency you'll hear from me in regards to muksa. And I even asked Rabbi Sachs this morning if I'm allowed to say this. It's a straight out Shulchan Aruch. There's really nothing to discuss about this. And I told him that you're all going to kick me out of my head when I tell you this halacha. He said, no, you have to say it. And he says, you should tell them that you spoke to me and you could definitely go ahead and say it. And that's the following. There's something that's called a kli shemalachto leheter. Okay, a kli, it's a utensil that its function, its malacha, is for a permitted purpose. We need to discuss, mitzvah Shem, at a future time, a kli shemalachto leiser, like a scissors and a hammer and things like that. But a kli shemalachto leheter. You have its utensil, but its use is for a permitted reason. A table, a chair, a bed, a key, a corkscrew, a nutcracker, a hanger. There are so many different things that are kli, but the usage is for permitted use. So all these things, is a table, is a chair muksa on Shabbos? Anybody? No, of course not, right? We all know a table, a chair is not muksa on Shabbos. Give me a break. The halacha is the following. The Shulchan Aruch says, anything that's a kli, that's malachto leheter, is not allowed to be moved for no reason. I am not allowed to do the following on Shabbos. I am not allowed to go over to this chair and go like this on Shabbos. That is muksa. I'm not a chair. It's a kli shemalach leheser. I'm not allowed to move it for absolutely no reason. Okay? That is straight out in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, what you're all bothered by is, what do you mean? Who does something for no reason? Of course, I moved it for a reason. So then if I'm doing it for a reason, it's permitted. Anytime you're moving it for a reason, it's permitted. If I want to use a corkscrew, of course, it's mutter to use. If I want to use a chair, I want to sit down on the chair, so I move it to sit down. Of course, that's permitted. But if you're moving it for no reason, if I'm just schmoozing with somebody. So this is a discussion. Let's say I'm schmoozing with somebody, and the same way we discussed before, you kick around rocks and pebbles when you schmooze. So your people, they twirl a chair and they do things like that. That is not allowed on Shabbos. Okay? To move it has to be somewhat of a substantial use, a substantial reason that you move it. If it's in the way, you're allowed to move it. That's a valid reason that you're allowed to move it. But to move it for absolutely no reason, that's not allowed. The Shlah lived in the 1500s. He says, this is a halacha that even learned people do not know of. And he said, you have to be mefarsim this, you have to publicize this, that this is a halacha that so many people do not realize about muksa. Rabbi Sachs, of course, this morning, he's a learned person who did know this halacha. But there are many learned people that do not know this halacha. This is straight out in the Shulchan Aruch. However, there is a leniency by things that are tashmisho tadir, things that are constantly used. Things that are constantly used, like forks and knives and spoons. Things that are forks and knives and spoons, meaning it has to be a kli. So food is totally not muksa whatsoever. You're allowed to move something that's food for absolutely no reason because it's not a kli. It's only by something that's a utensil. Food is totally, totally permitted. But so too, says the Mishnah Berurah, that forks, knives, and spoons are also allowed for no reason. So I'm allowed to go over, let's say, while I'm singing Zmiros, I'm allowed to just, you know, move around my fork or my knife while I'm talking at the table. I'm allowed to move a fork and a spoon or a knife for no reason whatsoever. That is allowed. There's other discussions. What about jewelry? What about clothing? It's a machlokes. Some say yes, some say no. Rabbi Sachs says, at least, again, like I always tell you, you're not obligated to always follow what Rabbi Sachs says, but there are many women here that are from the Aguda, and therefore, Rabbi Sachs says, you know, for the other things, you really shouldn't rely on it, like jewelry and clothes, but for silverware and things like that, that would be permitted straight out.
Play with, like, women all the time play with their jewelry, their necklaces.
Okay, so that's, you know, so that would get involved in that machlokes. You know, you're wearing a jewelry, so the jewelry is a kli, and that's it's, you know, so you're allowed to move around with it, that would get involved in that halacha. Again, there are those that say that will be straight out permitted. There are those that say not. Perhaps each person should ask their personal rav as far as something specific like jewelry. Do we go with the regular rules of kli shemalach leheter, or do we say that that's considered the same as forks and knives and spoons? He didn't say specifically jewelry, but he said as far as other things, like as far as clothing. That was Damachokas, and he said that perhaps, you know, you should ask specifically about jewelry. One thing, you know, like you have like these little balls, these stress balls that a lot of people like, you know, some people really need it to squeeze, you know, the whole time. So there's a discussion in the Paiskim. Is that considered a real need? That's a kli, it's a ball, it's a kli. And is that permitted? You know, a person who really needs to, you know,
Toy of a child, and how's it different than any other toy?
So right, so a toy is also a kli, so a toy. So if I were to go over to a toy and just move it for absolutely no reason, let's say it's a toy that's not muksa, right? Not a toy that makes noise. We have to discuss toys that makes noise.
Like a ball.
But
just a ball.
So
take a ball just because you want
around it.
Right. Even the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah talk about a kadur. They talk about a ball. But yeah, to touch it for absolutely no reason, that is considered a kli. Could be a ball, may even be worse than a kli. But let's assume for a second it's a kli. That would be not allowed. But another thing we have to discuss, something that's miyuchad, a toy, may be more lenient. A toy is something that when we discuss, which is next on the list. When we discuss things that are muksa machas gufo, things that you designate before Shabbos. Let's say I want to use a rock as a door stopper. So I'm able to designate it before Shabbos. There are things that will be permitted to do. We have to discuss the intricacies of that halacha. A toy could be the same type of thing. If a toy is designated before Shabbos as a set use, so could be that'll be more permitted. But you know, it could be we'll have to see. Mitzvah Shem next week when we get there, could be it would still go into the regular usages of a regular kli, and you know that'll not be permitted. We have to see as far as toys, does it get to something like the forks and knives? Okay, so Mitzvah Shem next week we'll discuss more as far as the muksa items, muksa machas gufo, money and buttons and snow. Bugs and pets and dogs and peels and shells and plenty of other stuff.